Certainly good to see everyone this morning. Thank you for being here. I know we are blessed with a number of visitors, and we appreciate your presence very much. Anybody in here have trouble with anxiety? Anybody ever worry about something? You don't have to raise your hand. Well, okay. I may have told the story, but every time I think about anxiety, worry, I think about those three prospective fathers who were in the hospital in the waiting room, and the nurse comes out and she tells the first one, said, "Congratulations, your wife just gave birth to twins." And he said, "Man, that's great. I'm the second baseman for the Minnesota Twins. This is really going to be some great press." So he came to the second guy. "Well, congratulations, your wife just gave birth to triplets." He said, "Whoa." He said, "You're not going to believe it, but I'm the president of the 3M company. So this is really going to be some great, great coverage." Well, the third father took off. He was running. And the nurse, wait a minute, "I've got great news." He said, no, "I can't stay. I'm the president of 7-Up. Well, he may have had a reason to be a little bit anxious, or a little bit concerned, you know, at that point. But a recent news magazine included a photo that was taken on Wall Street, and in the midst of a number of businessmen and women, there is this lone figure of a woman wearing a white mask, and she's holding up a sign, and the sign says, "You have every reason to worry." And then the message continues on the sign that was hung over her, around her neck, "No end in sight." In the midst of the economic crises in our country, this was one person's conclusion. You have every reason to worry. No end in sight. And some of you with rapidly disappearing income or real job insecurity can nod your assent to that conclusion. We feel like that we have every reason to worry. Some of us, as we perhaps watch our nest egg and the stock market disappearing, feel like that we can give our assent to that sign. We have every reason to worry, no end in sight. Well, these economic worries are complicated by other worries, hurricanes, whether one is going to hit us, family concerns. There are many days when we seem to have every reason to worry. Even Jesus admits there are reasons for worry. One of the verses read is our text, Matthew 6:34. "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen? Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you are really looking, you can find reasons for worry almost every day. In fact, that's what those gathered around Jesus were doing. They had found trouble in the day. They were worrying. And Jesus asked in verse 28, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin." Those gathered around Jesus had found every reason to worry. They were worried and upset about a number of things. And in verse 31, Jesus says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?" They were worried about what they were going to eat and drink and what they were going to wear. In this sermon, Jesus discusses three basic relationships that make up all of life. In Matthew 5:21-48, Jesus addressed our relationships with other people. In chapter 6:1-18, Jesus addressed our relationship with God. And then here in verses 19-34, Jesus addresses our relationship with possessions. Jesus knows that each day is likely to bring trouble, especially in the area of money and possessions. And so in this third section, Jesus addresses this issue of worry. And his teaching here is quite easy to grasp. 6:25, do not be worried. 6:31, do not worry. 6:34, do not worry. Yes, if we look for it each day, it can bring things that can stress us out. But Jesus urges us, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Verse 32 implies worry was the most common response in that time. For the Gentiles seemed to be obsessed with all of these things, stressed out by all of these things. Everyone is worrying, Jesus is saying. A poll taken a couple of months ago found 2/3 of the people in this country are scared about the direction of the country. 3/4 of the people in this country say the events taking place right now are stressing them out. The most common response right now is worry. But against that common response, what does Jesus say? Do not worry. In the text, Jesus gives us some ways to move from fear to faith. First, Jesus urges us to focus on the present. Matthew 6, verse 34 again. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We have little control over tomorrow. Yes, there is some planning, some preparation you can do today that will help you with the trouble tomorrow. But there is also some trouble tomorrow that's going to come your way no matter what you do today. Some trouble tomorrow that you cannot do anything about today. So Jesus says, live in the present. Focus on what you can do or what you have control over today. Imagine writing down a list of all the things that you are worried about today. A recent article suggested 3 common worries: job security, the health and well-being of our children, and the threat of terrorism or natural disasters. What would you add to your list? Now, how many of the worries on your list are not things that are going to happen today, but may happen tomorrow or the next day? Sure, as I said, there is some planning and preparation you might do today that might deal with some of these future worries, but there are some worries on your worry list that no amount of planning and preparation will do anything about them. Jesus is saying to us, stay focused on the present. I like the way the Message translation puts it. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Number 2, Jesus urges us to focus on something productive. Matthew 6, verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? The image is one of being productive. Can worrying lead to the productive action of adding to your height? Can worrying lead to the productive action of increasing your lifespan? Well, the answer, of course, is no. Worry is not productive. In fact, as most of us know by experience, worry can be destructive. Jesus urges us to focus on something productive. Number 3, Jesus urges us to change our perspective. Matthew 6, verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? There is more to your life than what you are currently worried about. Jesus wants us to see the more that He's behind all of those things that are worrying us. And in the rest of the passage, Jesus, I believe, unpacks the more. So Jesus urges us to change our perspective by focusing on the provision of the Father. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Many of the pagans would have believed in 2 fundamental forces in life fate, and fortune. Both of these forces were viewed as capricious and burdensome. You never really knew what fate was coming your way or how the wheel of fortune was going to spin. And as a result, you lived with a lot of stress and worry and anxiety. But in contrast, Jesus urges us to focus on the Father. The Father who knows what we need. A Father who will provide what we need. And he illustrates this. The Father provides food. He points to the birds. He has created a system that provides food for the birds. To illustrate how the Father provides clothes, he points to the flowers. Jesus then argues from the lesser to the greater. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? In verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? If this Father so regularly provides food and clothing for the birds and the flowers, will he not much more provide for you, his special children? Jesus is urging us to change our perspective. Jesus wants us to see the more and stop focusing on all these things causing us to worry, and instead to trust in his provision that he will indeed provide for us. And finally, Jesus not only changes our perspective by getting us to focus on his provision, but he also urges us to focus on the purpose of God the King. Another of the verses that was read as our text today, Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus points worried people toward the provision of the Father, but he also points worried people toward the purpose of the King. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. There are bigger things going on in the world. There are kingdom things going on in the world. There are righteous things going on in the world. There is a lot more going on in the world than the list of items that have us worried. There are righteous things going on. There are kingdom things going on. There's a heavenly King at work expanding his kingdom. There's a heavenly King at work winning over evil and justice with good and righteousness. And to seek first his kingdom is to simply sign up to be part of the kingdom work. It's to lay down the worry list and take up an apron and take part in the kingdom work. To seek first his kingdom and his righteousness means to pray for our mission efforts, to participate in the various ministries of this church, to visit someone, to call someone, to encourage someone, to sit down with a non-Christian friend and talk about spiritual matters, to do what you can to deal with unrighteousness and injustice in the world. And the more we participate in God's kingdom, the less we will get caught up worried about all the other things in life. I believe the best response to some of the things that worry us is to simply get involved in the righteous kingdom work of God and see if that doesn't help us put some things in proper perspective. As you consider your worries, your anxieties, let these words of Jesus lift you up. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I'm reasonably confident that most of us in this room struggle at times with anxiety and with worry. And I know that there are many people in this room who have legitimate concerns, and that we certainly can cast those concerns and those anxieties on you, because your word tells us you truly care about us. But I pray, Father, that you will help each of us here today to allow these words of Jesus to sink deep into our hearts, and that we will truly do our very best to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and that we'll not be so much worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, but we'll focus on today, doing our best to be involved in the kingdom work. So, Father, please help us all as we deal with this worry and with this anxiety. It's real, and I do not want to give the impression that that is not something that we have to deal with on a daily basis. But I just want to thank you for these powerful words of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that we will take them to heart, and that we will do our very best to place our trust, our confidence in you, and that we will indeed cast all of our anxieties, all of our worries on you, because you truly care for us. And help us, Father, to live each day in such a way that we will bring glory to your great name. And we thank you in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if there's anyone here today who is ready to respond to the gospel through faith, repentance, and baptism, we're here to help you. If anyone desires the prayers of the congregation, we are here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if we can help you in any way today, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing?